Hey, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part series on the mental set that a teacher needs to have good classroom management. Part one, episode 112, was all about with-itness. Well, part two is emotional objectivity. Thanks for being here.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Hey, in episode 112, I introduced you to Robert Marzano's thoughts about the mental set that a successful teacher needs, with-itness and emotional objectivity. So that we could spend a little more time with each concept, I divided the talk into two episodes. So if you haven't listened to part one yet, go back and listen to it. I'll make sure that it's linked in my show notes. But that would be episode 112. This is episode 113. So, you know, if you haven't listened to the episode about with-itness, I encourage you to go back there. But let's go ahead and start by revisiting with-itness. A teacher who has command of this part of the mental set has his senses in tune with the kids. If you remember, Marzano said that a successful classroom teacher comes prepared with a certain mental set. And that mental set is with-itness and emotional objectivity. And today we're going to talk about emotional objectivity. But the with-itness is that in-tune part that happens with the teacher. You know, the comic book character Spider-Man had this ability to recognize when trouble was coming, so much so that he could duck out of the way of a punch or ensure that he was cautious around others who might be bad guys in disguise. This was called his Spidey sense. Bloop, bloop, bloop. The classroom teacher needs to have his own spidey sense. He needs to have this special talent turned on, and then he needs to know how to pay attention to it. In the classroom, this typically leads the teacher to intercede before a fight takes place, to address hurt feelings, and to find out what has a child acting differently from what is typically normal. In order to have his spidey sense turned on, the classroom teacher has to know his kids. He has to interact with the kids in a way in which out of the normal behavior is noticed. If there's no relationship, that means the teacher doesn't know what is out of normal behavior. So let's take a look at the second part of the mental set, emotional objectivity. The teacher has this element in his toolbox, doesn't feel hurt over a student's poor choices, or doesn't get angry over a student's actions. Okay, I know some of you are shouting at me right now. Wait a second! Wait, 1 minute. Foul. Haven't you said before that it is important to connect with kids? Haven't you said that one key component of good classroom management is to build relationships? To that I say yes, you are correct. But what I am talking about now does not contradict that. So before we go any further, let me make sure that you recognize and understand that I am not talking about not connecting with kids. I am not saying that you shouldn't reach out and build a positive relationship. No. Instead, what I am talking about is recognizing that some student actions are not directed at you, but are a sign of something else, which means that you should not start to feel sorry, hurt, or angry over the misbehavior. I know some of you are thinking, really? Why would I feel hurt over this? Well, just wait. And why would I feel angry? Well, Just wait. Instead, you just need to deal with the situation. Additionally, what often comes with this is an attitude that you might develop towards a student. He always disrupts class. He is always talking. He seems to be doing this to get me angry. He is trying to get on my last nerve. Sound familiar? Well, we have to catch ourselves doing this. We have to get control of us in this case. Let's look at a couple of situations here, all right? Fran is always late to class. You tell her one more time, and then I will have to write you up. The next day, Fran is late to class. You think, there, she did it again. She, on purpose, is testing me. She is on purpose pushing my buttons to see if she can get away with it. Well, I'm not gonna let her get away with it. No way. Well, let's look at what is happening here. The student is late and is warned. Then Fran is late again. The teacher is emotionally connected. She is thinking that Fran has been late on purpose to see if the teacher will do anything. Now, it doesn't mean that some kids don't do this. But what's happening here in this situation, the teacher is getting angry and has promised to not let her get away with it. Because obviously she's making a personal attack on my ability to control this classroom. Aha. Let's take a look at what other possibility might be very real. What if the teacher discovers that the reason for Fran being late is that she is meeting her boyfriend at the gym during the class transition? It is too far away and she is late to class. Love is the reason. She is not openly defying her teacher. She's just in love and she wants to hang out with her boyfriend, willing to take whatever punishment's coming her way because she's in love. Here's another possibility. Maybe Fran is avoiding running into her best friend because they had an argument and she doesn't want to walk into her and she doesn't want the argument to continue. They called each other names, and now she is dealing with the pain of a friendship issue. In this case, personal hurting is pushing her to change her walking path. She is taking a longer way to get to class. Notice that in this example, it also has nothing to do with a personal attack against the teacher's authority. This is why a teacher needs to develop emotional objectivity. Feeling that the student is making a full-out attempt at disobeying the teacher may not be the issue. We get to this type of a conclusion when we begin to think that we are the only reason why a student misbehaves. Okay, how about the teacher who feels sorry for the student who breaks the rules, so lets her get away with something or doesn't enforce what she said she would do? Sound confusing? Not really. This one happens every day. Let's look at a specific example. Greg, the math teacher, has been having difficulty with getting the kids engaged in the class. He doesn't actually start the class. He doesn't really get the attention of the kids. He just kind of starts talking. So the kids keep talking. At least some of them. He tries to talk over them. Eventually it works and calls out to be quiet. It gets quieter, but Greg is getting frustrated. Eventually he sees Evan. He sees Evan say something and he announces to the class, "Evan! One more time and you are out of here!" In a few minutes, Evan talks again, but is quieter, not really that loud, or so Greg is justifying. And he says to himself, "You know, he really didn't mean it. I'll bet that I can just look his way and he will stop, and I won't have to follow up with what I said." Oops. Not a good idea. Greg has now sent a message to the whole class that he doesn't mean what he says. Evan is still here. The teacher said one more time and he was out of there, but didn't do anything. Some of the kids might be asking themselves, is the teacher afraid of Evan? Is the teacher intimidated? The kids, especially Evan, were taught that the teacher is not fair with punishment since failed to follow through with what he had said. Sometimes we have to give ourselves attitude adjustments. Oh, come on, you know what I mean. It's easy to believe that every day June will cause an issue or that Bray will disrupt class at some point. Instead of addressing what a specific situation has developed, we develop an attitude instead towards a child. The attitude appears in constantly addressing misbehavior by only one child instead of the ones who were actually responsible. You know, maybe it was Bray's turn before, or maybe it was, June who was causing some of the issues before. But for some reason, it's not always them. But we think it is. And that's not good. we start to develop an attitude that it's always going to be Bray or it's always going to be June. Now, come on. There's nobody else in the room. You don't have to admit to anyone but yourself, if this is possible, that you may need an attitude adjustment once in a while. The attitude appears in constantly addressing misbehavior by only that one child instead of the ones who were actually responsible. You might yourself start anticipating that Steve will be an issue today because, after all, Steve always is an issue. Oh my gosh, if we're talking like that, that means that we have an attitude and we need to give ourselves an attitude adjustment. We're becoming too emotionally attached. You know, we're thinking that everything is done to drive us nuts. It might feel that way, but it's not the case. This is what we're talking about. You've got to become emotionally objective. When you catch yourself thinking this way, where you need that attitude adjustment, you have to find some way of getting your brain to think more positively about the student. Maybe you remind yourself of something he did in class the other day that was funny. It actually was very funny. And you can make yourself laugh, and so get the negative out of your brain. Maybe you remind yourself of something he did the other day in class that was right on target. He actually answered the question correctly, or he took time to be focused on the lab or something like that. Or his essay was just, oh my goodness, it was excellent. You know, maybe you find a way for the kid to be successful. Or maybe you give yourself an attitude adjustment by doing something else, you know, by simply just, you know, I don't know, you know, you put a rubber band on your wrist, and every time that, you know, you catch yourself thinking that it's going to be a bad day, you pop that rubber band so it reminds you, don't think that way. It is important that you not hold grudges or give the appearance that you hold grudges. When you have a student that might be one of those kids who does seem to talk a lot, you need to deal with a specific issue instead of making it become the whole class issue or making it appear that that is the only person in the class who seems to get in trouble over anything because you're prepared for him. Some suggestions for giving yourself an attitude adjustment go like this. All right, so you had a negative experience in class today, or you're coming to the class and you're starting to find yourself being negative. You know, go find that teacher who always can make you laugh. Oh, come on. No, every faculty has the clown. Everyone has one. Everyone has the person who they can tell you something about chopped liver and it's funny. All right? I mean, it's they can tell you a story about having a flat tire and you don't feel like crying and been there. You feel like laughing and been there. You know, so find that person. Have them, I mean, talk to them. Get them just to talk. Don't say, be funny for me. Just say, hey, man, let's talk for a minute, because you know that eventually they're going to say something outrageous. You know, after work, watch something funny. You know, push the bad stuff out and behind you. I love watching things that most people think are inane comedies and should have been gone a long time ago, but I love Gilligan's Island, man. If you never watched it, you need to watch it. It's goofy, it's funny, and it has nothing to do with the real world. I mean, there's some funny old shows out there that I still love, and I love to watch them, and I can watch them anytime. One of my all-time favorites was Get Smart. Gotta love it, man. Yeah, but watch something that makes you laugh. Oh, I really loved Home Improvement. There's my show. And today he has a new show called Last Man Standing. Enjoy that one as well. Tim Allen can make me laugh. Doing something like that might help you get your brain out of that mess that it's in, where you're starting to feel negative about everything. So figure out how to laugh. What a great way. How about figure out how to give yourself a timeout? You know, you take the time out, not the kid. As a school administrator, I learned that I needed to do something separate from my work. I needed to get connected with kids who didn't always get in trouble, you know, because when you're a school administrator, sometimes the only kids you see, especially if you're the discipline assistant principal, sometimes the only kids you see are the ones who get in trouble. And you start wondering, is everybody getting in trouble? Is this whole world just mad? Is it insane? Is it, I have to get control of this because everybody's bad. Well, no, you just have to spend some time with the kids who don't get in trouble. And so I started as an assistant principal, and it carried on as a principal that, you know, I said, I don't want to see every kid as a potential rule breaker. Instead, I want to get to know them. I want them to get to know me, and I want to have a release. And so I started playing in the band. I play trumpet. I'm not wonderful at it. I'd be a lot better if I practiced more, but I would play trumpet in the band. That was fun. Not only would I play in class, practice with them in class, but I'd play at football games or I'd play at concerts. Yeah, you want to talk about getting to know kids and how, like, giving yourself an attitude adjustment. Just get involved with kids who are having good time, having fun, and we'll let you revert to 16. That's fun stuff, by the way. Additionally, I had fun playing soccer at lunch and after school with the kids. I'm not a really good soccer player. I was much better coach than I was at, and some would argue with that, by the way. But, you know, I would play with them. Hey, anybody want to kick the ball around? Or after school, put together pickup games for soccer. That was fun. What was really great for me was when they stopped picking me last. But they'd interact with me. That was cool. It's what you wanted. Because it gave me an attitude adjustment. They made me stop thinking of everything as bad and trouble. You know, this good stuff. You know, when I was a high school principal, you know, we had a parking attendant who drove a golf cart. And, you know, he was keeping the kids from skipping and other things like that in the parking lot. The parking lot's going to be a lot of trouble if you don't know that. And I would call him on the radio once in a while and say, "Hey, Philip, can you come get me?" He'd make room and I would join him on about a 20-minute timeout drive around the campus. What a difference the fresh air made in clearing my head of anger, frustration, and bad attitudes. I would tell the staff, I said, "If you see me on the golf cart, it's not a good time to try and come talk to me because I've put myself there and I am in timeout." Emotional objectivity is an important aspect of what Marzano calls the mental set of a teacher. Coupled with itness, the teacher is better prepared to work with the kids and handle whatever student misbehavior that might arise. Practice your spidey sense, your with-itness. Practice your emotional objectivity, not getting angry or frustrated, dealing with what needs to be dealt with. And your classroom management is going to get better as you work with the kids and help them achieve their dreams. Thanks for listening.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.